I hope that some of our thinking about what is recorded for us in Psalm 23 is not becoming a little bit too monotonous to you. I've had several comments and comments of appreciation for thinking about Psalm 23 from the standpoint of a shepherd, and expressions of appreciation. I hope that you are thinking of the 23rd Psalm in a new light, what it would really be like to be a shepherd and to write these kind of words from your heart that David wrote about in Psalm 23. When we get to the beginning of verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. We see a little bit different type of tone on the part of David. What he has said thus far has been as if he were a sheep talking through the fence to another sheep who is not enjoying the blessings that this sheep enjoys. And there's a little boast there. The Lord's my shepherd, and he leads me into lush green pastures and beside the still waters, and I've got it great because he cares for me and I trust him. But when we get to this point, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. It's like he's talking to his shepherd. And the language is very intimate. And it's a close, it depicts a close association between the sheep and the shepherd. And wherever the shepherd leads, if it's through wild mountains or rushing rivers or country filled with predators, the good shepherd is always there to watch out for the sheep. David is one who knew of the type of terrain that sheep exist on in Palestine. He knew that firsthand. You might recall when the prophet Samuel was sent to anoint a son of Jesse as being king over Israel, that David was not near home with his brothers. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 11, he was away tending his father's sheep. So he would have been out in the country and had to be sent for to come before Samuel. So it's not really surprising to us that David could write with great clarity and great precision about the terrain that sheep would have to be led through. So he knew from first-hand experience all of the difficulties and all of the dangers of the hikes to find pasture through rough country. That's what the shepherd is constantly thinking about, grazing the sheep, not down to the roots and pulling the roots out of the ground, but just enough in a certain place and then move on somewhere else, not to destroy any of the pasturage, as we mentioned before. David would be familiar with all of the dangers. The rampaging river during a rain flood, avalanches, rock slides, poisonous plants, ravages from predators that raid the flock, storms of heavy rain, sleet, hail, snow. All of those things are familiar to a good shepherd. David handled his sheep, managed them with care, managed them with great safety, even under adverse conditions. Nothing took David by surprise because he was a good shepherd. Recall, if you will, in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 34, when David was a young man, and just about all he had known is taking care of sheep. And he goes out to sent by his father to bring provisions to his brothers who are serving in the military under King Saul. And he has a conversation with Saul to explain why he ought to be the person to go against the Philistine who was taunting the armies of the living God. And in verse 34 of chapter 17, 1 Samuel, David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." That's quite a brave statement, isn't it? But that's what would be necessary in a good shepherd to preserve the life of the sheep. And notice, if you will, in verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said, "Go ahead, may the Lord be with you." Does that ring a bell? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." David said, The Lord is the one who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. That makes us put a lot of stock in what David says in the 23rd Psalm, doesn't it? The valley of the shadow of death. Many people regard this as a real, literal valley in Palestine. And some have written about it. And when they write about this valley, they write about the same valley. One person has written this many years ago, and it said, "There's an actual valley in the shadow of death in Palestine. And every sheep herder from Spain to Dalmatia knows of it. It is south of the Jericho Road leading from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea. And it is a narrow defile through a mountain range. Climatic and grazing conditions make it necessary for the sheep to be moved through this valley for seasonal feeding each year. The valley is 4.5 miles long. Its sidewalls are over 1,500 feet in high places. And it's only 10 or 12 feet wide at the bottom. Travel through the valley is dangerous because its floor has gullies 7 or 8 feet deep. Actual footing on solid rock is so narrow in many places that sheep cannot turn around. And it's an unwritten law of shepherds and flock that the flocks must go up the valley in the morning hours and down toward the eventide lest the flocks meet in the middle. Many wild dogs lurk in the shadows of the valley looking for prey. In fact, the hill country of Judah is broken up by narrow, precipitous ravines or wadis, difficult to descend and ascend, dark and gloomy, abounding in caves, the abode of wild beasts and robbers." So if you can picture that type of a valley, and here's a guy with a flock of sheep trying to lead them through, you would sense those things if you could put yourself there. The shepherd is there to protect them from harm. And so the sheep are the ones that learn not to fear. The good shepherd is leading me even through treacherous terrain, even through this valley of the shadow of death. Quite a bit more direction than leading sheep into lush pastures and beside still waters, isn't it? There are times when you and I have to walk through what we might describe in our lives as dark valleys, treacherous times. The literal meaning of this expression is the valley of death shadow, or a deep shadow, or darkness. It's figurative of distress or extreme danger. It's that which darkens or overshadows. It would be incorrect to say that God's leading always protects us from dangerous circumstances. Let me give you an example of that. If you think about Psalm 22, which depicts much of the suffering of Christ on the cross prophetically, Verse 11 of Psalm 22, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." This is the appeal of the psalmist to God. In verse 15, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death." You see, God doesn't always protect a person from walking in such places as a valley of darkness. The description really should be seen as including not only the idea of death, but the idea of some horrid, lonely event that's very much similar to death when we have to experience it. David apparently is thinking of the big valleys of life, the dark valleys of life that some of us have to go through, that really cause us to cringe in fear when we remember those times or when we think of them. The question might arise, why would a shepherd take his sheep to a mountain pasture by way of these type of valleys if they're so dangerous? And that's a real good question. You could picture this valley and the towering cliffs of the sides that would be on both sides. The valley floor itself might be a dark shadow because only the sun would hit that when the sun was directly overhead during a few hours of the noon. And surely the shepherd would know that in places like that they're predators, they're wild animals, and they're going to be looking for a tasty morsel in a lamb or something. Bears and wolves and cougars can take cover in those broken cliffs. And from a hiding place and a vantage point, they can capture their next meal pretty handily. The good shepherd knows that these valleys can be subject to sudden rainstorms. And where is there to go when a rush of water comes through a valley like this? Because of a flood, a flash flood, it sends water rampaging down through the slopes. How would you protect the sheep in those situations? And what about rock slides? You know, even when you drive through the interstate highway going east, all the way through East Tennessee and through the mountains, and you see these signs and warnings about rock slides. You know, be on the alert, and you're thinking, well, we're in this huge, wide interstate. What do we have to worry about rocks coming down the mountain? And they'll fall in the ditch over there, but that's not always true. So rock slides are very much a threat. Mud and snow avalanches. Dozens of other natural disasters could destroy these sheep. But in spite of all those hazards, the good shepherd is the one who knows the best way to take his flock and protect them to places of grazing, even if it means going through difficult circumstances. Sometimes it's the only way. This gentle grade through a valley is the only way to get to a higher plateau where good pasturage and a well-watered pasturage might be found. Even in the valley, a good shepherd would know that he'll find refreshing water for his sheep along the way. He leads me beside quiet waters. There are rivers, streams, springs, quiet pools of water in such places as those deep, narrow passages. As Christians, you and I may be called upon to experience firsthand what it is to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. Tragedy may strike in our lives. Some very deep and serious trouble may strike us as Christians. Where will we find help? Where will we find refreshment? Won't it be in the Good Shepherd? Won't it be in our Lord? If you think with me again from Psalm 22 and verse 24, the psalmist said by verse 24, "For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard." You know, there are a lot of people that believe that Jesus was totally abandoned by his Father on the cross. But Jesus is pointing them to the 22nd Psalm by quoting the first verse of it. And if a person is directed to the Psalm, you know, it would have been much easier for him to say, in all probability, to his disciples from the cross, "Please read the 22nd Psalm." But it wasn't known as the 22nd Psalm in those days. That came later. But it would be, you could direct a person to it, and it would be easily recognized among the Jewish people by quoting the first verse, which is what I think Jesus did. And by the time you get to verse 24, God hasn't despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. When he cried to him for help, he heard. That's a bold statement of confidence. The Lord heard his son, heard his prayer, heard his cry. And those who have been through such dark valleys can be the kind of people that can console and comfort and encourage others who are in similar situations. In thinking about that deep valley, when the rain does come, the water flows through the bottom of the valley, the channel, the ditch. And so in the calling of the Christian and the Christian's life, whatever refreshing that comes from God can be found in those circumstances and not somewhere else. It can be found in the valleys that have been carved and cut into our own lives by excruciating circumstances. The one best able to comfort someone who is bereaved is someone who has experienced bereavement. The one best able to comfort someone who's had their heart broken is a person who has been brokenhearted. Most of us really just don't want these kind of valleys in our lives, do we? They're not pleasant. We shrink from them. We shy away from them with a sense of fear. We're afraid of them. We're apprehensive about them. But in spite of our worst misgivings, God is one who can bring a great benefit and a great blessing to those type of valleys. The dark things, the distressing days, might be the way that God is proving his care for us. And it's the way, many times, of the greatest refreshment to ourselves and other people around us. That's the way it was with Jesus. In Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He says, take the picture of Jesus and look at the valley of the shadow of death that he walked through. And think about who was with him. And think about why he did that and what he looked forward to on the other side. The great joy that was set before him. That's why he endured the cross. So maybe when we read Hebrews 12 from now on, we might remember some association with the 23rd Psalm. James wrote in James 1 and verse 4, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Would that be one of those refreshing drinks of water from the floor of the valley of the shadow of death as we're walking through? Would we drink up endurance there? That's a great blessing that comes from God. Only when we're tried, only when we're tested, will that opportunity be available to us. James says, let endurance have its perfect result. You'll be complete and perfect, lacking in nothing. The disappointments, the frustrations, the discouragements, the dilemmas, the dark days, the difficult days, though those can overshadow our lives darkly, it's not the occasion for giving up. And it doesn't have to be a total disaster. Our shepherd knows all of this when he leads us through the valleys that are dark. He knows where we can find strength. He knows where we can find help, sustenance. He knows where we can find what we need. Gentle grazing. Despite every threat of disaster that seems to be all around us, Can you look back on your life and see some difficult days and some dark valleys that you've been through in your life? And can you remember how the Lord led you and sustained you through those difficult times to bring you where you are today? Can you remember something like that and look back on it and say, I was made stronger by that. My faith was increased by that. I can. If you haven't lived long enough to experience some of that, quite possibly you will. And maybe you will find in those times some great blessing from God. The person with a powerful confidence in Christ is the one who has proved out the faith and proved out that God is indeed very strong and is with him in his experience, even in adversity. The one who walks through life's dark valleys without fear is the one who in turn is a great tower of strength and a source of encouragement for other people who are going through it. It's good for us to remember that because part of our role as God's people is to build each other up, encourage each other, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. There are going to be some valleys in life for all of us. And here's what Jesus said to his closest disciples when he said there are going to be some dark valleys for you, in so many words. In John 16, in verse 32, the second part of that verse, Jesus said, I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. As followers of our Master, we know that we're not alone. The Father is with us, even when we walk through dark valleys. And He'll give us the peace. Concerning the valley of death, it's customary in a lot of places to use this passage at a time of physical death. When a person dies, many times at funeral homes, you will hear this passage read. You may choose to have it read. So it's customary sometimes to think of this verse in terms of physical death to provide consolation to those who are passing through a dark valley of physical death. And that's an appropriate way to use it, but that's not the only meaning of the verse. To be one of God's secure sheep does not mean that the law of death has been repealed. As Christians, we face death in the future because we know Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, it is still appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And this includes all of God's sheep. The only exceptions that we should expect are those who are alive at Christ's coming, who will not have to face death, but will be transformed immediately from mortality to immortality. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples that in some cases being faithful to him would result in your death. In John 16, 1 through 3, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. You know, that's a bold statement to make to a disciple, isn't it? There are going to be people that are going to kill you, and they're thinking they're doing God's service. Stephen knew what it was like to feel those crushing blows of the stones that were thrown at him to drive the life out of his body. In faithfulness to his Lord, he did that. He, in Acts 7, he died in the confidence that our God, who may not deliver us from death, will indeed deliver us by death. Stephen was a man of great faith. Jesus even spoke of the manner of death by which Peter would glorify God in John 20, 18 and 19. Paul lived with the conviction that whether he lived or died, that he would bring glory to God either way. Romans 14, 8, Philippians 1, 20 through 26. For most people, the time of death is really unknown. It's certain to come. We'll either walk by ourselves through the valley of death, or we'll walk with the Lord. And I hope that all of us would prefer and strive to walk with the Lord. We can't walk this valley with our husband. We can't walk through this valley with our wife. We can't walk through the valley with our business partner, and we can't walk through the valley with family or friends. It's something that each of us as an individual will have to face, the valley of death. We'll either walk with Christ through that valley or we'll walk alone. And I prefer to walk with Christ. What about you? Remember when you were a young child and you considered yourself to be bigger than you were and you really didn't understand any restrictions and you could take care of yourself, but when a thunderstorm came and the lightning flashed in the sky and the thunder was loud, you'd run jump in the bed with mom and dad or jump in the bed with grandma and grandpa, wouldn't you? Seeking some kind of security. We need to know that our loved ones are close when perilous times come our way. And that's the way it is in life. As adults, many times we walk around like we feel like we don't really need God. Everything's going pretty good with us. And we can take care of ourselves. But then when we get to the point where we face the reality of our own demise by death, don't we want to call someone stronger? Someone that in the back of our minds we know all the time can be there to look out for us. But you can only be close to the Lord at death if you're close to Him during life. The sheep says, I fear no evil. And he gives the reason why. You are with me. I fear no evil. We may have heard somebody boldly say on the playground in grammar school, I'm not afraid of you. And later on in life, we learned that a lot of times that was a bluff. The guy didn't want any trouble. And he wanted you to back off. And he wanted you to make you think that he was bigger than he really was. So I'm not afraid of you. That's really a bold challenge. It's a hard invitation to accept, to fear no evil. Although the shepherd is promised to be with the sheep, he's not promised that they will always be surrounded by green pastures and recline beside still waters. Sometimes the flock is led through a valley, and sometimes it's led across a rushing river. Isaiah wrote a long time ago about the great, great shepherd who led the people of Joseph like a flock. And he wrote about this in Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 2. Here's what it said. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Comforting words, and very similar to the words we read in the 23rd Psalm. What would make the sheep unafraid of crossing a rushing river? We've already talked about the nature of sheep and how they will drink at pools of still water, but they will avoid rushing water. So how would a good shepherd get them across without fear? It would have something to do with building up the confidence in the good shepherd, wouldn't it? With the sheep, trust the shepherd and know that he has their best interest at heart and that they don't have to be watching the rushing water and they don't have to worry about feeling the coldness or the threatening currents. They know they have a good shepherd and they trust him and he's going to lead them across to safety. And he's going to be there to watch and bring rescue if it's needed. And that none of his flock will perish because he's watching for each one. Each one is valuable. The absence of fear is not from exceptional courage. It's from confidence in the Good Shepherd. He fears no evil for the same reason that a child does not fear when his father is with him. He has perfect confidence in that security because of his reliance on a force greater than the evil that he's facing. For you are with me in every situation, with me in every dark trial, with me in every dark valley. There's not anywhere that we can go or any circumstances that we can be called upon in life to endure where the Lord is not with his people. That is really something for us to be thankful for. What a great blessing that truly is. Every dismal disappointment of this life, every distressing dilemma, we have a good shepherd who walks with us. We need to see him by the eyes of faith. When the terrain is hilly, when it's dangerous for clumsy sheep like this one, when it's difficult, treacherous, the shepherd is the one who walks beside us. The shepherd is the one who moves alongside to steer us past dangerous places, through those narrow passes, and across those slippery rocks. He looks out for us. He gives us assistance and encouragement that only he can give. God's people do not like companionship, is the point, I guess. Even in tough times. God's presence gives us peace and security when we're faced with challenges in life. A young child was walking with his father along a dark path, and the toddler said to his daddy, "Daddy, will you hold my hand?" And realizing that the son was somewhat insecure, the father said, "Why?" And the little child said, "It's too dark not to have a daddy." And I think that's a pretty good illustration of what we are called on to face in this life. This life is too dark for us not to have a good shepherd. This life is too treacherous. There's too much evil out there for us not to have a good shepherd who watches over us and cares for us. It's too dark. There are too many dangers, too many threats to our spiritual well-being not to have a Father in heaven who is with me when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 9 and verse 10. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. In Psalm 121, verses 2 and 3, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. In Isaiah 42:16, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. Would those passages remind you of the 23rd Psalm and things that we've thought about? They will me from now on. You know, as Christians, we sometimes sing about moving on to higher ground. It's going to be difficult for me to sing that song now without thinking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death up to the good pasture on the higher ground under the protection of the Good Shepherd. We want to enter a more intimate walk with God. And that more intimate walk with God doesn't come by being airlifted, you know, up to a higher place. And it doesn't come by scaling the steep walls and bringing the sheep up with a rope, one by one. It comes by leading them through this valley, this gentle incline in this valley, so we ascend up to the upper pastures that are good. Every mountain has its valleys. The sides of the valleys are scarred with deep ravines and draws. The best route to the top is usually through the valleys. Think of it. When you're driving through mountainous country and you want to go, you've heard the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Why is it that in some places of our country, highways are not always a straight line, no curves in it whatsoever? Have you thought about that? Especially when you're driving through mountainous terrain. Why is it that you have to drive 14 miles out of the way when, as the crow flies, you would save those 14 miles? It's because you're going around through the valleys and not directly over a mountain. That would be too difficult and surely life-threatening. The good shepherd of the high country knows this. He leads his flock gently, persistently up the paths that wind through the dark valleys. Notice that the flock walks through the valley. They don't die there, and they don't stop there, but they walk through. The ways of God lead upward through the valleys of our lives. We have to go through some dark times, maybe to really appreciate the reality of faith in God. We might, as a young person, play around with this concept of, oh yes, I believe in God. But what's really going to make it real to us and a part of us that we never will reject is when we have this faith in God and we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And we're going to realize what's really important in life. And it's going to be faith in God. The basic question is not whether we have many or few valleys. It's not whether those valleys are dark or merely dim with shadows. The question is, how do I react to them? That's really what it's all about. How do I go through them? How do I cope with the calamities that come my way? And with Jesus Christ, I can face them confidently. And I might be able to say, I don't fear evil because I know who's with me. What about you tonight? Have you given thought to who's guiding you and who's with you, whose gracious spirit guides you and leads you so that you don't have to fear? If you've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you want to become a Christian tonight, you can do that very thing. Because you believe in Him, you'll confess Him before men, you'll repent of sins, you'll be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, just as the Bible teaches. We can help you in any way walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in. We'd be delighted to help you in any way that we possibly can. And if we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand to encourage you by singing the invitation song.